lived, after all, and for the desert-dwelling, nomadic Bedin, that was surely cause for celebration. Rukia just wished that the joyous games didn't hurt so much.
"Sitting alone, always alone," came a voice,
her father's voice, and he grabbed her by the ear and ushered her to her feet. Rukia turned to regard the brilliant smile of Niraj, a smile full of life and mirth and love. He was short by Bedin standards, but stout and strong and quite respected. He rarely wore his keffiyeh, letting his bald brown head shine gloriously in the desert sun.
"Where are the other children?"
he asked his precious daughter.
"Looking for me," Rukia admitted. "To make me darker."
"Ah,"
Niraj replied. Rukia was lighter-skinned than most Bedin, lighter even than her mother, Kavita. Rukia's thick, wavy hair, too, was a lighter hue, with many red highlights showing among her light brown locks, instead of the normal Bedin darker brown or even raven black.
"They tease me because I am different," she said.
Niraj winked at her and rubbed his hand over his bald pate.
"Not so different," he explained.
Rukia smiled. Her father had told her that her lighter hair had been inherited from his side of the family, although she hopefully wouldn't lose hers as he had shed his own. The young girl didn't completely believe the tale, for others had told her that Niraj's hair had been as black as a starless night, but that only made her appreciate her father's gesture all the more.
"They will hit me with their mud balls and throw me in the pit," she said.
"The mud is cool and soft to the touch," Niraj replied.
Rukia put her head down.
"They shame me."
She felt her father's hand under her chin, lifting her face up to look into his dark eyes, eyes very unlike her own deep blue orbs.
"You are never shamed, my Rukia," he said. "You will be like your mother, the most beautiful woman of the Desai. Tanud is older than you. He already sees this truth of Rukia, and it stirs him in ways he does not understand. He does not seek to shame you, but to keep your attention fully until you are old enough to marry."
"Marry?"
Rukia replied, and she almost burst out laughing before realizing that such a reaction wouldn't be seen as appropriate from a child her age. As she suppressed her reaction, she realized that among the tribal Bedin, Niraj was probably correct. Her parents were not among the leaders of the tribe, but they were well respected after all, and had a well-appointed tent and enough animals to provide a proper dowry even to Tanud, whose family was in high standing among the Desai, and who was regarded as a potential chieftain. He was barely 10 years old, but he commanded the children, even those about to be formally deemed adults, 2 years his senior. Tanud Dubujeb was the ringleader of the Desai's child gang, Rukia thought, but did not say. He used victims like her to strengthen his standing, and no doubt with the great encouragement of his proud father and overbearing mother. It crossed Rukia's mind to play the Dubujeb tent a visit when the tribe had at last settled in for the night. Perhaps she would bring some stinging scorpions along. She couldn't contain a little chuckle at that, conjuring images of Tanud running naked and screaming from his tent, a scorpion stinger stuck firmly embedded in his buttocks.
"That's better, my little Zabrija,"
Niraj said, patting her head and using his pet name for her, which was also the name of a particularly beautiful flower found among the wind-blown rocks in the shadows of the dunes. He had misconstrued her sudden gaiety, obviously, and Rukia wondered, and not for the first time, how Niraj and Kavita might react if they ever discovered what was really going on behind her 5-year-old eyes.
"This way!"
It was Tanud's voice closing in, and it seemed as if he had figured out Rukia's ruse at last.
"Run, run,"
Niraj said to her playfully, pushing her away.
"And if they get you muddy, smile all the while, and know that there is plenty of water to wash you clean."
Rukia sighed, but did indeed start away, and she realized that she had run off not a moment too soon when she heard her father laughing as Tanud and the others came rambling by. She thought of a dozen ways she might avoid them, and perhaps even make them all look foolish in the process. But her father's laughter made her put those dark thoughts out of her mind. She would let them catch her, and pelt her, and throw her in the mud. For the traditions of the Bedin, the playful bonding the Desai tribe demanded of its children. For Niraj. Antares couldn't contain his gap-toothed smile as he kneeled before the small break in the wind-blown rocks, a narrow channel leading to a wider area that was protected from the wind and sand by the rock walls. They had passed by this spot several times already without even noticing the break, so completely did the rock shading camouflage the narrow entrance.
It could be left over from the days of Razalith,
Alpiers reasoned, speaking of the ancient city which had once dominated this region.
Some perennials are stubborn.
Untaris shook his head and crawled through, coming into a small secret garden hidden by the stones. It was clever, he thought. This area was tended, well tended, and many of the flowers, vibrant and fragrant, seemed to have been recently transplanted.
You see? Jinjab asked. Like Jinjab told you, eh?
Not enough water here to sustain these plants,
Antares told his partner. He reached out and touched a large red rose, slowly wrapping his fingers around the plant and rubbing the petals into pieces.
So someone is bringing water out here, said Alpiers.
Not someone, Jinjab insisted. The girl.
So you claim,
Alpiers said skeptically. He turned to his partner, who was much more acquainted with gardening than he, and inquired as to how much water would be needed by these particular plants in any given day.
In the heat of the desert sun? Untaris shrugged.
He looked around at the area, some 10 strides across and half that deep, and all of it filled with vibrant plants, flowers, vines, and even a small cypress tree, flat-topped and shading the southern half of the secret garden.
More than a child could carry,
Untaris decided, and both the Shadowvar turned to regard Jinjab.
She does not bring out the water,
the Bedin informant insisted.
Never have I seen her. Never has Jinjab said that.
But you claim it's her garden, said Alpiers.
Yes, yes.
Then how does she sustain it without water?
Many is the water near Razalith,
the Bedin stammered, and he looked around as if expecting to see a river flowing through the garden under the flora.